Take your Bibles, please, and turn, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah has made a pronouncement against the king of Israel, Ahab. It has not endeared him to the king. The Lord took care of him for a while by a river. The ravens came and fed him, but then the Lord had something else for him. We're going to begin reading in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little cruse in a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. There is a blessing that awaits us from this dear woman's life. Let's ask the Lord to show it to us. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give us wisdom now. Give us your Spirit. Lord, help us to understand what awaits us here to learn from this dear woman, this mother. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you go to the New Testament, and if you want to turn to that, you're welcome to do so. But if you go to the New Testament in the book of Luke, chapter 4, Jesus is speaking, and as he is up against the rulers, as they're challenging him about his being the Messiah, he said this in verse 25, Luke 4, But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. It's great to be able to read it from this end. But let's kind of stop a little bit and let's get into their skin. Not just her, but the prophet Elijah as well. I don't think Elijah fully understood why he was sent to this woman. He's in Israel. He's a prophet in Israel, but he's being sent to a Gentile nation. But I believe also that really when it comes to Elijah, that was okay because it's where God sent him. His desire was obedience, not explanation. And I think that's important for God's people to understand. I think it's important for me to understand, for all of us. If God tells us to do something, too often, and I'm right there, we want Him to explain, okay, why, Lord, and then I'll decide if I'm going to do this. No, His desire, His focus was obedience, not explanation. You see, you do what you're supposed to do. God will take care of the fruit of it. But I want to give, though, as we look at it from their perspective, as we just kind of meditate on this, before we get into the real meat of the message, I'd like for us to just consider some things. One prophet in this story, this is what you have. One prophet plus one widow woman, and you've got a moment, a big moment of faith. You take God's person, and you take that person and add whoever or whatever is added, and you've got an opportunity for faith. You ever struggled with your faith? You ever looked at doubt? I hope and pray that this is going to be an encouragement to you, because you are not alone. We are not alone, really, is what I should say. How this woman responded would literally be a matter of life and death. Now, we live in a nation that if you have no insurance, yet if there's something that comes along that really threatens your life, you can go to a hospital and they have to take you. That was not the case here. They did not have the Red Cross. They did not have welfare. This woman, as far as she was concerned, I don't know how soon, I don't know how long they had been without eating, but this woman, like probably tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, in this time, was looking at her own death shortly to come to pass. This woman thought, I and my son, I don't have my husband anymore, I and my son are going to die. If this woman responded incorrectly, then what she said would have come true. She would have died. There was no one else to help her. But there was something different about this moment because it was a faith moment. According to Jesus, what we read in Luke 4, according to Jesus, the woman was singled out for reasons known only to God. Now, I don't know what the future holds. But I do know this. I'm looking at people right now that possibly down the road sometime, God is going to single you out for a situation that will bring glory to Himself. That's not crazy talk. We read accounts in the Bible all the time, and many, many more are alluded to, where people of God were taken, and they literally, before a world that despised their God, was used to make a statement. Even in an account, a situation like this, this woman didn't know, but God knew. So let's stop and think about this. Let's stop and remember this. When God singles you out, there's something that He wants you to do, yes. But not only does He want to do something through you, He wants to do something to you. When you are singled out by God, and by the way, sooner or later, if I can say this, every one of us will be, because we all have contact with the world. When God singles you out, it's not a waste. It's an opportunity to bring glory to Him, and we all ought to desire that. Amen? Amen? But more than that, if we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, then when that happens, that working is for us, not just through us. Remember this. These faith moments are the kind that cannot and will not come in any other way. What God does, it must be by faith through us. This was all about faith here. The biggest things that come to you by faith. How did you get saved? By what? Faith. The grace of God came down to you and to me if you trusted Christ as Savior, and you were saved not by your good looks or your good works, but by the goodness of God. Let us never, ever forget that. Not only is salvation by faith, but also God's calling on your life by faith. It doesn't matter who cuts your check. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. The most important thing is ministry. This is what our speaker told us this last year during our missions conference. Christian, life is for ministry. Not everybody's going to understand that. When we were gone on this trip, I'm not bragging, please don't misunderstand. One of the things I wanted to make sure I had was tracts, because there's going to be people out there, they're going to receive them. Most likely, most of them wound up in the trash. But the fact of the matter is, you never know when God's going to take something. We were in a restaurant, and the waitress, I spoke to her when we were done with our meal, and I said, listen, we're from California. I'm a pastor. I'd like to give you something, but please understand, I'm not doing this to be presumptuous. I'd really like to read just. And she said, oh, you're a pastor. She saw the tract. She says, that's great. I just got right with God. I was saved years ago, and I got away from Him, and praise God, I came back, and now I'm in such and such a church. I said, great, take this tract. In fact, it was one of our red ones. We all have something in common. She said, no, before I give it away, I'm going to read it again myself. I want to see this. She loved it. You know, that's a woman that had a faith moment, and God blessed, and it's glory. You see, that's what this woman in Zarephath can teach us. So when it comes to, you know, us, salvation is by faith. The working of God's work on our lives is by faith. And then overcoming sin and Satan by faith. Period. Not through our own effort. Not because we can out-argue the devil, because we can't. But it's by faith. But you know what? These times can also be kind of scary. Scary? Yes, scary. Because, you see, whatever you do and whatever I do, when we wind up in a situation like this, it has consequences. Like we said, this lady, she actually told the truth if she had not listened to the prophet. She was going to die. There's always consequences when we come to a faith moment. You might be in a faith moment this morning. There is something that God has spoken to you about. It could be salvation. It could be how God wants to use your life. But I can guarantee you this, that faith moment has consequences. Period. It does. This was life or death. By the way, Mom, it wasn't just life and death for her. She said, I and my son. It's life and death for her son as well. And when it comes to the things that we choose, it can often be the same way, spiritually speaking, and maybe even ultimately, physically speaking, life and death, because we're being a testimony of the grace and faith that we have in Christ, or we're showing other people, I can just live on my own, thank you, nothing to see here, move along. Not true. You're not a spectator. You're not a spectator. You are a participant. This lady was not a spectator. She wasn't going to have Elijah come and just show her some things, and she says, ooh, and ah, and wow, and okay, I'll vote for that, and that's it. That's not true. We are all participants. What we have here is a moment that is marked by two things, and they always come together. Did you hear what I just said? They always come together. Every time you have a faith moment, you have a fear moment. How many of you have ever been in a situation, my hand is up, when God was challenging me to make a decision by faith, trusting Him, and fear came in like a Mack truck? You ever been there? Every time. Folks, there is no time for a faith moment when there is not fear that is there as well. Every faith moment has a fear moment. You act, not waiting for the absence of fear, but you act in spite of the fear. You act giving the fear to the one who saves you, the one who loves you, and you act. That's exactly what this woman did, as we'll see. If God tells you to do something, He'll make it work. He'll make it work. Maybe not exactly as we would like to think that it's going to work, but it'll work. It'll work. Fear can bring a state, if we're not careful, of paralysis. What do I mean? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Here's Paul, the mighty man of God. And he says in verse 5, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side." Watch this. "Without were fightings, within were fears." Now, we can have things that come along and they irritate us. Getting back to the time we were on the airplane yesterday and flying into Sacramento, I don't know who he was, but there was a guy that sat two rows back from us. And he was talking like this. A, everybody in the airplane was interested in what he had to say. And B, have you ever listened to somebody, I'm not kidding, when they speak, it reminds you of fingernails going down a chalkboard? And this young lady that was sitting next to him got to hear him pontificate for over 2 hours. Now, that was irritating. It was so good to get off that airplane. I mean, it was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. But that's not a battle. That's not what this is talking about. We're talking here about fightings. This is when you have a situation where you are outright threatened. You put yourself in that kind of situation, and automatically within you're going to have fears. You've taken somebody that's called to the mission field. You take somebody that's called to ministry, period. It could be a Sunday school class. It could be teaching a Bible study. It could be giving the gospel to someone that you've so wanted to see get saved. Within our fears. Within our fears. That's what Paul was going through. Every faith moment has a fear moment. He said in his first letter to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 2:3, "And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling." I've gotten into the pulpit like that. Maybe you've even come to church like that before, taught a Sunday school class, witnessed to somebody, do whatever. This is a battlefield. Like Lester Roloff used to say, it's a battlefield, brother, not a picnic ground. And we're learning that more and more and more. By the way, I praise God for how God's people are responding in America. I rejoice in that. But the fact of the matter is, there's going to wind up being more than that. This world is not our home. How many of you rejoice that it isn't? Amen. I tell you what, praise God, like that song says, we haven't really sung it much here, but the time is coming when we'll drop and rise and go into the skies and praise God what He does here. Faith must rule. We have to keep this in mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul wrote this, "While we look on the things, while we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." And that's what's important. So we're going to look at this story right now. We're going to look at this account. This dear woman has a lot to teach us. I want to give you three main points, and we're done. Number one, we see the command of the Lord. Look again at verse 8, if you would. "The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." There is a spot for him to go to. The Lord is in command of the life of His people. Let's never forget that. He's in command. I praise God that He's in command. Like Israel in the wilderness, their sustenance, both spiritual and physical, was found only in the part of obedience. Keep your finger there in 1 Kings. Please go to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. Listen to this. This is fascinating. In just several verses, what we wind up hearing. Numbers chapter 9. And verse 18. "At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the command of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the command of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the command of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud above abode, from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining therefore the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the command of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses." That's the Christian life. Well, that doesn't sound, I want my freedom. I have my freedom in Christ. Amen? We look at this, and there might be some that say, "Well, I just want to live my own life." Let me tell you something. With the enemies that Israel was surrounded by, and with the fact that they were in a desert wilderness, praise God for the command of the Lord. He took care. He's got the same care for Elijah. He has the same care for us. The same care. He had the same care for the woman as well. And she's about to learn that. God's people must see themselves here for God's purposes. God's people must see themselves here for God's purposes. So number one, the command of the Lord. Number two, the condition of the widow. Look at verse 10. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. "So he arose and went to Zarephath, And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. Now here's something that's kind of interesting. The Lord says, hey, Elijah, I have ordered a widow woman to take care of you. So he packs his bags and he takes off for a foreign nation. But the Lord has sent him there. Surely this is going to be a wealthy lady. She's got food. She can take care. He gets to there and gate of the city. And the Lord says, this is the lady. And she's gathering sticks because she's going to die. How many of you would think that maybe, just maybe, the Lord kind of got it wrong? That's what winds up happening to us sometimes. We think along this line, surely we're being sent to abundance. We're being sent to security. We're being sent to safety, wealth. Instead, Elijah finds somebody who has given up. He wasn't really expecting that. We wouldn't be either. But God wins. Outward observations would make us think that, you know, maybe Elijah was full of doubts and fears himself at this time. But the problem is, that's not exactly what the Lord was planning. Let's look at this situation, first of all, from Elijah's perspective. In your hour of need, God cannot only bring you to a place of sustainment, but also a blessing to others. Elijah, being the man of God, that's how he viewed it. From the widow's perspective, she would learn this: you can have nothing, yet God can use you in the greatest of ways. You might think you've got nothing. I mean, I don't have talent. God doesn't use talent. He uses availability. How many of you have availability? Everybody here, if you're living and breathing, God can use you if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you belong to Him. There can be a story written in heaven at the Bema Seat of Christ that tells about you the same way. Elijah came trusting in the promises of God. His master had said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So here's a widow in a strange land who is prepared to die. His heart was not resting on the condition of the woman. His heart was resting on the Word of God. Amen. That's what we need to see. Paul came to Titus and in the same way said this: Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Think about it. That hope that we have, that's spiritual. Just like the Lord had said, the widow was there. No suspense, no looking high and low. There was nothing like that. God had been arranging that because God is always previous before Elijah arrived. He is always previous. God has set up tomorrow for you, and the next day, and the next day. Jeremiah said to the Lord in Jeremiah 10, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It isn't. We can't plan things out and see God glorified. We need God. The steps of both of these, the widow woman and the prophet, they were directed. The first one, by God's command, Elijah. The second one, by His sovereignty. You might get a command. On the other hand, you might all of a sudden see yourself in a situation where it's like, wow, how did this happen? And the Lord will use you there. Both of them, Elijah and the widow woman, were both used. Again, one by command, the other by sovereignty. Elijah had asked her this. Go to the middle of verse 10. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Now, immediately what winds up happening is this. We wind up seeing the character of this woman. Not mentioning her desperation to Elijah, she just moved. She's going to help this stranger. But she did say this. Look at verse 12. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." You know what she didn't know? But she would maybe learn later on, and she knows now. What she mentioned when it comes to the meal and the oil are pictures of Jesus Christ. Christ being the bread of life, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and the oil being a picture of the Holy Spirit. But let's continue. When it comes to this woman, she's in transition. She's still looking at what little she has. She sees that, you know what? I'm in a world of hurt. It didn't happen overnight, but her growth would come. Her end was near. Her eyes were not on God, but on the barrel. And our eyes sometimes are the same way. We don't realize that by command or by His sovereignty that God can use us. Our eyes are on our lack. Did you hear me? Our eyes are on our lack. We don't have, folks, what it takes to live the Christian life out. Right. It's all from God. Right. You don't look at your barrel and say how lean I am. You look at your Lord and rejoice in how much you have, because He can take what little you've got, and as He did in this story, He made it last. The Lord is rarely early, but He is always on time. The command of the Lord, the condition of the widow, and then lastly, the care of the Lord. Look at verse 13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." The heart of so many people would immediately ache for this woman. The little she had now been asked not only to share with this prophet, but make a portion for him first. He wasn't being selfish. This is by command of the Lord. But then comes the assurance. Again, verse 14. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste." It will not waste. "Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." The focus is this. "For thus saith the Lord." Every time we come in here, we open up God's Word. It's not what Mike Rogers says. It's "thus saith the Lord." Is your faith waning? It's not what I say. Listen to the Word of God. Are you at the end of your rope, as it were? Or have you gone down where, all you have left? I mean, it's just, a day or two and that's it. It's "thus saith the Lord." Folks, that's where our focus needs to be. If that's all you remember from this message, I want you to remember that. When things go south, when life gets tough, what will sustain you is what God says. It's what He tells you when you're on your knees in the prayer closet. It's how you watch Him work, either by command or by the situation that He puts you in His sovereignty. In either situation, It's thus saith the Lord. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who said that? The preacher? No, God did. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Who said that? Mike Rogers? No, God did. Thus saith the Lord. A widow woman who is in turmoil, quite possibly, has had what she might have thought at the very beginning, her day turned upside down. What she's going to find out is God is good all the time. All the time. You know, sometimes we miss this when we get into the Word of God. How many of you have ever heard the parable of the prodigal son? Say amen. Amen. It's misnamed. The Bible doesn't say a certain man had a father and a brother. It says a certain man had two sons. The story, the account that Jesus shared is about the Heavenly Father. That we need to remember. Look at verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. One commentator said, actually, it speaks for a whole year. That's exactly how they ate. The barrel of meal wasted not, cruse of oil didn't fail, and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will never fail you either. When this woman did what she did, it didn't make sense. She sees the food, she sees her son, but then she hears what God said. And the battle goes. And there's a faith and a fear moment. You see, God always asks you first to give to Him. He always asks you first to give to Him. God does not negotiate. He wants to show you what He can do, but you come to Him by faith. The woman was asked to give what she and her son could not live without. You know, you stop and think about this. This woman could have limited God, the God of heaven. The God of heaven could have been limited by this woman's choice. We do the same thing. I look back with a broken heart and I think of times that I limited God because how I didn't trust Him like I should have. You ever been in that situation? If you've limited God before, say amen. Oh, amen. We can do it. But there's a widow woman that comes and she reminds us, you know what? You can trust Him. And then the Lord brings other scriptures to mind. Jeremiah 32:27, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 33:3, Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Psalm 81:10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. That's our God. I can imagine this woman struggling and having her son look at her and say, Mom, are we going to eat? Well, son, I hope so. But the whole thing begins to take shape. And just like us, I should say just like her, we struggle at the very beginning. But it all begins to take shape. I rejoice at looking back and seeing how God has sustained us, how God has taken care of us. And not just my wife and I, but people in this church. The same thing. The same thing. You see, the God of heaven comes. And because of that, we can rejoice. This woman was not a loser by her generosity because God was in it. God was in it. Her little supply of meal and oil was hardly sufficient for a single meal, but it turned out to last them for an entire year. That's our God. Her willingness to minister to God's servant, just a simple thing, brought her enough, not only for many days, but again, for a year. She gave Elijah of the best of what she had, and her kindness to him kept God, made God sustain her household. You know, it really is true. Matthew 10. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. That's exactly what she got. That's why, in fact, we talked about this just a little while ago. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. In closing, if I could just say this. He who puts God first will always find God with him at the last. He who puts God first, or she, will always find out, always see it, that he was there at the last as well. Well, I tell you what, that is some sermon by a widow woman. A single act, what God did. I'm glad the Lord directed me to this message, because we're looking at some tough times coming down the road in America. We're going to need to remember, ladies, just like this widow woman, a mother who at the first saw the death of her and her son looming, and instead she ate, her sons ate, and everybody else that was tied to her house. That's blessing. Can I ask you a question? Do you think God can bless you like that too? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the story of a dear widow woman. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking about. You know, this God that did this for this woman also gave His life for you. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to ask you, how many of you here know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Would you raise your hand right where you're at? You may put your hand down. Is there anyone here that would say, you know what, I'm not sure. I'm not going to embarrass you, not going to embarrass anybody. But I want to ask you, are you sure that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Again, the same God that dealt with Elijah and the widow woman did so much for us on the cross. Is there anyone here that would say, you know, I'd like to talk to somebody about what it means to trust Christ as Savior, about what it means to have the assurance that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? If there's anyone here like that, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anyone at all? Christian, stop and think about it. There might come a time, either by God's command or by His sovereignty, we all of a sudden wind up in a situation where we're looking at the impossible, but we know we can trust God. This is the answer of it all. This is the answer. Let's just take a moment to pray, and let's go to the Lord.